What a predicament Peter was in. Oh my goodness. I mean, how is anybody going to get out of a situation like that when Peter denied Christ three times? Boy, we're looking very deep into that unusual guy named Peter. Very complex. Called St. Peter, also called the Pope. So he had lots of issues, didn't he? It's a sermon on failure that we're going to talk about this morning that is so shocking that it resounds down to our world today, 2,000 years later. Well, Peter's threefold denial the night Jesus was betrayed and how Jesus forgave him and restored him. And how did he do that? I mean, Jesus did it with such diplomacy. You'll see through this sermon what he did step by step. The first part of the sermon depends wholly upon the actions of Peter, and the second part on the actions of Jesus. Peter was in charge of his own failure, aren't we all? And Christ took charge of restoring him. Behind the story lies a wonderful, liberating, hope-filled truth that failure is an event, not a destiny. Failure is a one-time event, hopefully. Maybe it happens more than once. But it is an event. It's not our destiny. It's good news because all of us fail sooner or later. It's not the initial failure that ruins us, but we all tend to do the same thing over and over again. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and hope to get a different result. Failure doesn't mean that you've blown everything. It means that you have some hard lessons to learn. It doesn't mean that you're a permanent loser. It means that you aren't as smart as you thought you were. It doesn't mean that you should give up. It means that you need the Lord to help you through the next step. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It means that God has a different plan for you. Only those who have greatly failed can really understand this. What happened to Peter? Talk about great failure. It's amazing. There's a short list of those icons in business who have failed financially. Listen to some of the people who have filed bankruptcy in their life. Walt Disney, Henry Ford, Donald Trump, Milton Hershey, Abraham Lincoln. Amazing. This story is for you and for me because very often in our lives we are bankrupt in the way we approach our life. When we have failed those who we love, we are embarrassed. We're full of anger. We have fear. We have shame. We have despair. We feel unworthy because we acted foolishly, and this happens all the time. When we have hurt somebody deeply, we wonder, will they ever forgive me? Can I ever forgive myself? We really can't, but God can come into our hearts and change all of that. Look what that happened to Peter. Peter never forgot what happened when he denied Christ. As long as he lived, he never forgot that terrible night. I know there are some terrible things in my life that I would rather forget, but they kind of are back there all the time. Tradition said that Peter would start weeping whenever he heard a rooster crow. There are things in our lives, aren't there, that remind us about things that are not good, and they kind of haunt us. Tradition also says that Peter would wake up at that same time every night when he betrayed Jesus and pray. Well, how does Jesus restore this fallen disciple? And he was like a fallen angel. The answer comes in five stages. First of all, he sent for him. And that's important to face up to the situation. When the women arrived at the tomb early Sunday morning in Easter, an angel told the good news and told them to go tell the disciples, comma, and Peter. See, there was a divorce between Peter and the disciples because they knew that he had denied Christ three times. Peter's denial separated him. No doubt he wondered to himself many times, what am I now, a traitor? Am I a traitor or a disciple? What am I? Peter may have failed in the upper room. He may have failed in the garden. He may have failed when he confronted Jesus. But Jesus sent for him because Jesus knew there was restoration to be done. Peter bragged about how full of courage he was going to be, what a great proponent he was for Jesus. When it came down to heart attacks, he failed. How wrong he was. The bold apostle turned to butter under the watchful eyes of people who threatened him. Peter also, in the Garden of Gethsemane, wanted to try to save Jesus, and he took that sword out and swung his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. Peter meant well. Jesus said, "Put your sword away. You don't understand. You really don't understand what this whole thing is about my becoming the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Put your sword away. It must be this way." Peter may have failed in the courtyard, but Jesus sent for him. And they said to him, "Are you one of those men who are with Jesus?" "Jesus? I don't know him." I mean, this is a different translation than what we read. "But didn't I see you with his disciples?" I don't know the man. I really don't know him. No, it's, stay away from me. "Aren't you a follower of Jesus of Nazareth? Because you have that Galilean accent, like a New Yorker, like me." He begins to swear as only a fisherman can swear, and I'm not going to go into that. "I tell you, I don't know this man. I don't know this man," blankety blank blank. At a distance, a rooster crowed. And moments later, Jesus was brought out from his trial before the high priest Caiaphas, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter at that moment. Now, all husbands know the look. I've said that before. But you can imagine the look from Jesus. Realizing what he did, Peter went out and he cried bitterly. Didn't know what he could do. After all that, the risen Christ on Easter Sunday sends for him first, before the disciples, knowing that Peter was divorced from the disciples for what he had done. Having let them down, whenever we do things that are horrible, we don't want to face the person who we hurt. Failure and sin separates us from the person we hurt and from other people as well. Sin isolates us so that the devil can convince us having to make such a stupid mistake that no one wants to be around us. Who could like me for what I have done? Can you imagine how Peter felt? "Wow. No one could like me," Peter must have said, "because look at what I did. I denied Christ in the face of I was afraid of getting hurt." The last thing we heard is that when Jesus looked at him, he wept bitterly. We don't know what happened to him, but I would guess he went back to the Garden of Gethsemane, way away from everybody by himself, to replay those awful moments and say, "How can I redeem myself? What can I do? Why did I do it? Why? What made me think I was so much better than the others? How could I have been so stupid? What does Jesus think of me now?" Maybe we've all been through that. We find the answer that Jesus made a special appearance to Peter before the disciples. Can you imagine how Peter felt? Here the man I betrayed wants to speak to me face to face and make a special appearance. Twice in the New Testament, in Luke 24, it says, "It is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon Peter." And then in 1 Corinthians, "He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and he appeared to Peter, and then the others." Came to Peter first. What amazing grace. No public humiliation. Jesus didn't take Peter in front of the other 11 and say, "Look at this guy, he's really awful, and we have to kind of build him up and I'll gather around him and pray for him." No. Jesus said, "I'm going to pick you one-on-one, bring you right to me, and talk to me." What amazing grace. Secondly, he challenged him. He met with him. Thirdly, he challenged him. Peter and the other disciples were fishing, and they caught nothing. This was a little bit before the time when he denied him. They wound up with so many fish that the boat began to sink. In fact, they said it was 153 big fish. when he realizes who the man on the shore was, when they told him to put the nets out, he jumped in the water and swam to the shore to Jesus. The answer is, why did they fail in fishing? They needed to fail. Failure very often for us is a prerequisite for eventual success. If that unidentified man had spoken up sooner, Jesus, they would doubtlessly ever have rejected his advice, saying, okay, we're the fishermen, you're just a preacher, what do you know about fishing, you know? But let the night pass and the sun come up, and they come up empty-handed, then they listen after failure. The Lord allows us to fail in our own strength so that we may learn only by his power that we will ever succeed. Microsoft founder Bill Gates said, success is a lousy teacher. It makes smart people think they can't lose. All of these people, almost all the icons that we have in business and in the world have failed at one time or another. Then Jesus says, Peter, will you obey me even when it makes no sense? Same question the Lord asks us every day. Will we obey even when we think we have a better way? Will we obey even when the way forward seems unclear? Will we obey when our instincts tell us to do something different rather than follow the Lord? Will we obey him finally when we fail on our own and just throw our whole life into his hands and say, lift us up and give us the strength and the direction? Well, the fourth point is that he reinstated him. Well, after breakfast, Jesus took a walk with Peter. This is a very interesting part of the scripture, I think, amazing part. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Meaning the other disciples. Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because he asked him the third time. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, this is very unusual. Why would Jesus have said this to him three times? Well, first of all, because Peter denied him three times. And why did he do it publicly? Because Peter denied him publicly. Jesus used the word, now this is important, when Jesus said, do you love me? He used the word agape. Agape means perfect love. But Peter came back to him and said, yes, I do love you, but in the Greek it was filial, which means more of a brotherly love. Jesus was trying to get across to Peter that he wanted him to love him unconditionally and to love his brothers unconditionally. That is the role of a Christian, to love unconditionally. He said, no, Peter, you don't get it. I want you to love unconditionally. Now Peter is thoroughly humbled. The man who was so staunch and so strong and so brave was completely humbled. Jesus' first question, do you love me more than these? Was a reminder to Peter of what he was supposed to be doing. Peter declared his love for Christ, but he refused to compare himself with anybody else. Jesus is cleaning the wound in Peter's heart with all these steps that he's taken. Consider what Christ doesn't do. He doesn't try to make Peter feel guilty. He doesn't humiliate him publicly. He doesn't ask him, are you sorry for what you did? He doesn't make him promise to do better. The question he has is, do you love me? What more is there than that? Once we have hurt someone we love, it's hard to look them in the face when we say, how could we have done that? What were we thinking? Do you even love me at all? But the question is, do you love me? Peter needed to see the enormity of his sin, because he was just afraid that he was going to look bad. Without the pain, he couldn't get better. Very often our pain comes first before we get better. Here's a thought. The truth will set you free, but it'll hurt first. That's very often the truth. There are three qualifications for those who would serve the Lord. Three qualifications. First is love. Second is love. And the third is love. That's all you have to go on, really. First we love and then we serve. First we love and then we speak. First we love and then we lead. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. He renounces his own self-confidence and puts himself in the hands of the Lord. Sometimes we have to hit bottom hard before we bounce up and bounce back. Did it work? Yes, that painful surgery that Jesus put Peter through restored him. And he never denied Christ again. In fact, it was on the day of Pentecost, a little while later, Peter stood in the temple courts and preached a mighty gospel sermon. You should read that in Acts 2, 14 through 40. And 3,000 people were saved that day, had come to Christ. The old Peter was gone forever. That brash, bold guy who did that ready, fire, aim, ready, fire, aim mantra. Jesus was brought a new man and restored the fallen disciple. And fifthly, Jesus reenlisted him, brought him back into as a leader of the disciples. Early tradition said that Peter was crucified in Rome at the end of his life, but he was crucified upside down because he could not bear to be crucified like Jesus. It's remarkable that Jesus skips the rest of Peter's life and concentrates only on how he will die. Although he failed in the past, Peter was a tremendous proponent for Christ throughout his life. What does Christ do with failure? What does Christ do with our failures? He redeems it. If only we are able to put our failures in his hands. God is able to forget our past. God forgets our past. Why can't we? Why can't we forget the past of those who have hurt us? He throws our sins into the depths of the sea and puts a sign up saying, no fishing. All those sins are gone into the sea and no fishing for them again. Peter remains a figure of intense interest. We've gone 3 or 4 Sundays now talking about Peter. And there's so much more about this man that we can't get enough of him. We know him well because every morning when we look in the mirror, we can see an image of Peter in that mirror. We love Peter because we can see him in our own history. Peter the Rock seems very un-rock-like at times. It took repeated failure for him to then become a rock in the church. Here's the final irony. Jesus had more confidence in Peter than he had in himself. So it is for all of us. The real hero of the story isn't Peter. The real hero is Jesus because he took this man and changed him. What mercy. What grace. He could do it for you and for me as well. Perhaps it's heard that at the gate of heaven there's a sign saying, for sinners only. And that's true. That's a legend. I can imagine another sign on the inside of the grace, inside the gate, by grace alone. For sinners only, by grace alone. That's the only way, that's the only entrance fee, by grace alone. For sinners only, for grace alone. There's a legend that Peter is going to meet us at the gates of heaven. It would be appropriate for him to be there because he would understand us better than anybody else. And really understand what those words really mean. For sinners only, and for grace alone. Amen.